You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Really want inside can only come from you. Yeah. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us
this
back
call
on
is
the
being
stage
recorded.
Of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com, the number one black talk radio podcast in the world. That's right. And blessed to be on it. Thanks to Brother Elliot and Time for an Awakening, Brother Ralph, and all those good brothers and sisters out there. And I'm pleased to be here this morning. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We have every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives. Oh, rest of my welcome. Oh, it's a great day, da-da-da-da. I hope you get a chance to do all things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. Okay, forgot. A little off track, but I got it in. Sometimes, you know, you just got to go back and forth like that. You know what I'm saying? I know you do. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. Later in the evening is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey every other Monday. And then on Tuesday, a little problem here in Dr. Pat McManus last night. I really want to hear what she had to say on Dr. Rogers' program, but we'll work that out. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 Eastern, 9, 7 to 9 Central Time. And then, okay, let's go all the way to Friday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know that's right. It's time for an awakening. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and Saul. Also on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Time for an Awakening, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Program note, Brother Franklin Jones, I believe, he's going to be on with me today. I can't wait. The Black Matrix, or... you know, should we call him the King of Memes, the Memes King, the Black Matrix, and supposedly coming back on at the end of the month, on once again after this program on Mondays and Wednesdays. But we'll see. And Dr. Rogers, talk with him on at the end of the month as well, the Saturday program with the young researchers, young students, I believe at Howard. So it's time for an awakening. Right here. Time for an awakening. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. In fact, if you go online, you'll see the products that are produced, the laundry detergent, all kinds of lotions and stuff, the African-centered boxer shorts. All of that is right there for you, brothers and sisters, at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba, I'm going to give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And talk to him about the upcoming trips. The trip that was scheduled this past would have been now in Senegal and Gambia has been rescheduled July 24th through August 3rd for $3,700. And the trip he still has on the board to Ghana next month, May 25th to June 5th, still on the board. And the South African trip, November 20th through November 30th, $3,700. I mean, every trip is $3,700, which is a very good price when you consider what other tours are asking for. And the end of the year trip, the Ghana trip, is December 24th. Once again, the South African trip is November 20th through the 30th. Just want to be sure. And then the Ghanaian trip is December 24th to January 5th, 2001. And all these are for $3,700. But if you jump on next year, Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd to the 12th, $3,500. Brothers and sisters, put a down payment down and pay on it once a week or once a month. But to the time your trip is coming, and you'll be right in the mix, a trip of a lifetime. Believe me, great accommodations. Go online. Look at the photos on Facebook.com/Bomani. Go look at some of the videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007 of previous trips. Renoka Rashidi is going to Uganda and Rwanda at the end of the year, October 5th through the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda. What great photos, Brother Renoko has. Beautiful places that you're going to be staying and visiting. So it's a trip, once again, a trip of a lifetime. Senegal and Gambia. And then, of course, he has another trip going to Kemet. And that trip is October 22nd, right after the Uganda trip, October 22nd to November 4th, going to Kemet. The cost on those trips about $4,300. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and look at the beautiful work these brothers and sisters are doing on the continent and in our city here in Atlanta. They, brother, in Habesha, they are doing great work. You know, Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. That's what we need. We need to educate ourselves. I mean, it's tremendous. And its mission, because it's a Pan-African organization, that its mission is to cultivate leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology, getting us ready for the battle to come. You know, that battle may be physical or may be mental, maybe both, but we got to be ready. Habesha programs, the Habesha Works program, all of these are agricultural programs, back to our roots, our sustainable seeds and golden growers. Sustainable seeds are the youth, back to our roots are young people and so forth. And golden growers is folks like me. And of course, the Kashi Project, which is in effect right now in Ghana. They're building the Kashi Project. Kashi Project stands for the K stands for the Brother Kwaku Nduya, who wasn't a botanist, ethnobotanist. And the other part of the Kashi Project stands for Sustainability Institution. Kwaku Adua Sustainability Institute, the Kashi Project. And they're raising money. They got half. They're trying to raise $250,000, and they got $125,000. So give them a call. Go online to HabeshaIncorporated.org and make your contributions for show. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The shrine is closed. And Medu Bookstore, I called them, didn't get an answer, so they might be closed. Saw Brother Gazimde, but that was a few weeks ago. I'm not sure if he's still open at the Black Duck Cultural Center and Bookstore, but I'm going to give these places a call. Since today is Wednesday and the shrine should be open, so I'm going to give him a call to find out what the deal is. So when I talk to you on Friday, I'll give you pertinent firsthand information,
That's what I like to do. You know that, don't you? Okay. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Please give a listen. Please call in. And the number is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And that's us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. And we need it. In fact, you know, I'm trying to hook up We Buy Black with us. We were supposed to have our conference, but unfortunately that didn't happen. You know, it would have been great if we could have hooked up and talked about some collaborative things. Because that's what needs to happen. Let's be real. Just like I mentioned the other day on Monday, what Africans are experiencing globally, what Africans are experiencing on the continent, what if Africans have been experienced for the last few hundreds of years, is a direct result of our lack of unity. So we'll constantly be manipulated, undermined, pitted against one against the other because we lack that unity. That's what we need. Brothers and sisters, it's the bottom line. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Us Lifting Us, go to the website, usliftingus.com. Become a member. Support Us Lifting Us. Son, it's Akabin Institute, Akabin Institute. The Akabin Institute, Brother Rudy and his lovely wife, Yah, they're still educating our children, and they need and deserve support. So go to Akabin Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, I got some links here because the Sister Circle and the Brother Circle are happening. And greetings, African family. Due to the current situation in the country, the brother and sister circles will be live streamed only. Registers will receive a live stream link upon the receipt of a donation. Please do not share the live stream link. Please don't. Brothers, please register by doing the following. Make your donation, a $10 donation, $5 for any of the young men that you want to bring along or put on the call, via our PayPal account, YAA Baruti, BARUTI, at yahoo.com. Yah Baruti on PayPal. Include your pertinent information, and that would be, make sure you put in Brother Circle, your name, and the other additional names, your email address, so they can send you the link, and your phone number. Sisters, register, and you should make your donation out to, of course, Yah Rudy, but at Gmail. So that's how they're keeping the brothers and the sisters having the account so they can be separated, so they can keep account. So the sister PayPal account is Yah, YAA, Baruti, BARUTI, at gmail.com for the sisters. $10 for adults and $5 for the young people. And of course, the pertinent information is Sister Circle, your name, your email address so they can send you the streaming link, and your phone number. Sante Sana, Bibi Fahodiye, our victorious destiny. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabrielle Rilia, with the work she's doing in the northeast corner of Haiti, deserves to be supported. So please go online, check out the website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 14th. To be black and beautiful means nothing in this world unless we are black and powerful. Dr. John Henry Clark. When true beauty has been falsified and abnormality has been defined as beautiful and the natural focus of human desire, true beauty loses value, except to those who see ugliness and horror as attractive. Our beauty is obvious. The problem is one of power. For in this reality, power defines worth. In a world of polarized opposites where beauty has come to be relative and superficial, a person's power determines whether the way they naturally look will be defined as beautiful. In the Yorugu's world, beauty is not colorless. It is an absence of color. It is not curved or full or kinky. It is straight and drawn in lines without depth. Given the power to define beauty and erase the ingrained propaganda that distorts ugliness into beauty, we can all see our beauty. If we are again to be the beautiful people we naturally are, not just an ugly one artificially made attractive by imitating the unreal, then we must cultivate the power within ourselves to redefine ourselves in this world as we have always been, black, beautiful, and powerful. Affirm, I am black, beautiful, and powerful. Affirm, I am black, beautiful, and powerful. Before I go to the next Inye Sesem, April 15th, it just makes me think, of course, of Dr. Wade Nobles and his definition of power, which I think that you should understand. And because I believe it is definitive. Power is nothing. Power is not information. And you hear all the time, information is power. No, it's not. Because if the information you receive is flawed and inaccurate, you get no real power. Power is politics or voting. No, it ain't. We've been voting and have folks. We have more folks in office. We even had the president of this damn country. No, it's not. Power is money. No, it is not. Because they control the money. You may have a good count, but next thing you know, it's non and void because they changed the dynamics. They went from cash to putting a chip in your hand. Power is none of those things. It's not education. It's not information. It's not money. It's not politics. Power is the ability to define reality. That's what power is. And that's what he's saying here. We must define the reality in our image and in our interests. Only till then do we have real power. Only till then will we be black, beautiful, and powerful. We must define reality for us. And we don't want to impose it on anybody because that's what the European did. He defined reality in his image and he imposed it on others. We must be a people who seek real power. April 15th. We are soldiers in love with forming beautiful families, rearing happy, thinking children, building strong, lasting communities, raising a mighty nation and removing all enemies. For African warrior scholar compliments, there is no other reason for being. Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Mwalimu K. Bomani Baruti. Baba Baruti. There is a reason why family institutions was first and still the most fundamental. African institution, Europeans worked to destroy. It is the source of our heritage. It's the transmitter and the command post within which survival strategies are formulated and duties are meted out. Without it, people don't know who they are or what to do. Therefore, it only makes sense that to rebuild our nation, our families must first be rebuilt. Our families must first be rebuilt. And doing so, this requires bringing complementarity individuals together and stabilizing and strengthening existing family relationships. I say, affirm, I respect, love, and respect the power of my compliment. I love, respect, and empower my complement. Family life. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. What is the community? What is the conditions in our community in being honest? They're bad. What is the conduct towards each other? Not good, is it? Because we lack conditions, consciousness. We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. It is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. And so when you throw out the yoke and you throw off the or you get outside those imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in, or you open the damn vice grip that the European has on your mind, now you will see who you are and what you are supposed to be. And you will look at him for who and what he is. Not that you challenge him, because it's fruitless. It's meaningless. It's a waste of damn time. But we challenge each other and we begin to love and respect each other. We need men and women together. We need family life. We need strong family life where a strong husband and wife work together to rear strong children with respect of children, their peers, and elders, and honoring and respecting and revering ancestors. We need to return to the source. Turn to our ancient ways. Hey, I'm going to play that today. How about that? That's how the ancestors work. It's really, I'm telling you, I tell you all the time, sometimes I pick a subject and then, because I just go over the Yenye Sesem, you know, as I'm preparing for the program, and bam, it hits right on that subject, bam. So, you know, I talk about Kwame Nkrumah. Of course, I love Kwame Nkrumah. And let me read to you this. It's Wednesday, so you know this is a piece that I read on Wednesdays. And respect for Kwame Nkrumah is tremendous for what he, his vision, because what his vision was correct. We must be one Africa. Just like I said the other day and last night on Carl Nelson's show out of D.C., he had Dr. Omion, and who was from Zimbabwe, who was here, who used to be the ambassador with the African Diaspora Institute, and, you know, talking about the situation. And I didn't see on the website the petition, because they're asking people to sign a petition to send to China to let them know this behavior cannot and will not be tolerated if they want to maintain a relationship. I know that on the continent there's some things that are happening. Some brothers and sisters just, you know, kicking Chinese out. Well, also too on the continent, there was a Chinese restaurant that said, we ain't gonna serve y'all in your own land, in your own town, in your own country. We ain't gonna serve you. Well, then get the hell out. Kwame Nkrumah, when he took over in 1957, one of the first countries to break from Europe, from the British. And then he wrote this and gave this speech in 1961, the Speech of Freedom. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. 1961, Kwame Nkrumah. And then some years later, he wrote this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be wrangling and haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. They're going to put 300 million. The Chinese want to ship 300 million of its citizens into Africa. And you see what's going on. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are Africans. We are Africans. And because the future to which European leads us is genocide. It's genocide. We must not be the people who worked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, African books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, he has interviewed our great scholars. You need to go on YouTube and check out some of those. But I like that. He says, now go and build. Supposed to have my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, on. I'm not sure. I mean, try to find where he is. But until that time, we'll of course, you know, we'll come up with some stuff. You know, we'll do that. For those who didn't get a chance to hear on Monday, we're going to play it again. This is the trailer for the upcoming book and documentary of that warrior, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And you know he was a warrior.
Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Free the land. On the move. Shalom. What's up?
Khalid Abdul Muhammad had finished his speech in Riverside, California, and headed outside to answer questions from the crowd when shots rang out.
Muhammad and three other people were shot. Some scrambled for safety. Others shouting he works for the Jews overpowered the gunman and beat him unconscious. Police then stepped in and dragged the suspect away while Muhammad's supporters carried him to safety.
The baddest brother I've ever met, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, was the man. Malcolm X times 25. He brought the thunder. He brought the funk. He brought the pain. Real, committed, consistent, brilliant, highly educated, fierce, bold, warrior, militant, but loving. He was the greatest.
This is Khalid Muhammad, former national representative of Mr. Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. Mr. Muhammad is the man who made so many of the front pages of America's newspapers with a speech at Keene College, which so many people called anti-Semitic and a lot of things.
The so-called Jew Holocaust. And I say so-called Jew because he's not a real Jew. He's a Johnny-come-lately Jew who just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe just a few days ago.
And my policy is fearless.
So you're not even a real Jew, buddy.
Recent events surrounding the remarks by one of my ministers. Brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad spoke at King College. Brother Khalid made remarks that were not consistent with the proper representation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I therefore have dismissed Brother Khalid from his post as minister, representative, and national assistant.
Remember the comment? He picked up the Pope's dress, and let's see what's under that dress.
It's a metaphor. It's symbolic language. I'm not at all interested in what is under the Pope's clothes. I'm not into that.
Let's see what's under there.
But it is a metaphor to say, let us expose the Pope. Quote, the Catholic Church and the Pope were directly involved in the institution of slavery. They financed slavery and gave the okay that it was good business to sell Africans. Lift up the skirts of his garment so that we can see the shame and reveal what has been hidden. But it has nothing to do with sexuality whatsoever. Well, I'm one of the rebellious slaves. And so when black people stand up out of pain and suffering and frustration, I understand after 500 years.
Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad made his transition to the ancestors.
Black power.
Black power.
Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, a gangster, literal gangster. Love Khalid, man, tell you. One of the black expos that I attended two or three, but the one that I remember most is the one that just seemed like I was just hitting, man. I had, the Black Expo was just dynamic, 90-something. Anthony Broder was there. He just had his, just got his book out, Nile Valley Contributions. Tupac was in a workshop with Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And I had a chance to have lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. I'm telling you, this is just fantastic. Saw Muhammad Ali. I mean, this was just, the Indiana Black Expo to remember. That was the third time seeing my, well, actually at that time, that was the second time. And the third time was when I saw him and hugged him, and told him I loved him at his center in Louisville, Kentucky. But yeah, fantastic, man. I want to see, thank Sister Fair, Paulette Fair, Turner Fair's wife, Turner Fair Jr. and Deidre and all that, the Fair family. Beautiful. So, but yeah, yeah. So the documentary is coming out, the book by Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. The book is coming out, I think, in July, and the documentary is coming out later. I might play it again sometime soon, but I can't wait. Can't wait, and hope to get Dr. Zulu Shabazz on. Talk about it. This Friday, my guest will be Brother Paul Pumphrey. And I'll talk a little bit about Paul Pumphrey at the second break. Bring up some information about Brother Paul Pumphrey, who is with the Friends of the Congo and a lot of other things. I met Brother Paul Pumphrey in Venezuela when I was there in Venezuela back in January. dynamic brother. I'm definitely looking forward to this. In fact, we talked about Coco. Remember, I was on a Coco farm. You'll hear some great things that he's going to talk about in reference to that. So, but I got on the Black Matrix today. You know, the king of memes, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing, my dear brother?
I'm doing well.
That's the wrong word. I can't say I'm fine. For these times right now, I'm not fine.
Yeah, I hear you.
These times right now, brother, I'm angry.
Yeah.
Here's a saying, if you're a black person that's not angry, it's because you're not paying attention.
Yep.
The white media propaganda campaigns have already been used to create the pretext of why we should expect the highest death rate among black people globally. The CDC has officially stated that these massive deaths in the U.S. can be written off as coronavirus without any true validation.
Right.
So, and the group that's been trying to do extermination of to reduce the world population wants to do a vaccine trial in Africa, starting in Africa.
Right.
Now, when you look at it, this entire thing is focusing towards us, towards our annihilation or to significantly reduce our numbers. And the problem is they've planned it for years because they have socialized the minds of our people for so many years that we no longer have the warrior class.
Right.
Our young men that used to be the warrior class now are speaking out to become rappers. I mean, I check call themselves niggers.
Yeah.
Our queens are speaking to the Instagram models and twerkers. We are in a situation right now where if you pay attention to what's happening, you have to be angry.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be angry. You do. I agree.
They already put it out. Listen, we should expect the highest rate among black people. Among black people. They create a narrative. And they're laying out the pretext of why we should expect to see all people dying most.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot of people on here, Franklin Jones.
You can use propaganda to create a pretext to justify what's coming. And it's a crazy. And Africa has been trying to fight back through creating these videos, and they've been posting them online. But these African nations are putting these like 15-minute videos. They're saying we are not your guinea pigs. We're not your guinea pigs. And it's coming from Kenya. It's coming from South Africa. It's coming from all over.
Right.
And when they post them, Facebook has limited their ability to share them.
Okay. Yeah.
Because what the Africans are doing is trying to create a counter narrative, a counter propaganda, and the white establishment is reducing the black counter propaganda. What a war most don't understand.
Right.
And it's really frustrating.
It is.
And the more you see it, like I said, I've been forecasting government objectives for years. Before I went to the Gulf War, I told all my friends in the Army, we're going to the next war will be in the Middle East, because I follow the social science of what they do. Before Muammar Gaddafi was murdered, I told people 7 months that they're planning on killing him. Look at the forecast. Look at the laying out the propaganda. Look how they're vilifying him.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating the pretext to go after him,
right,
and take him down.
Right.
Now, that's why I'm so frustrated, because I was accurate in those forecasts, and now I'm looking at my own people, and I'm seeing a forecast that's been directed towards us.
Okay.
So it's great to say where I'm at a point where I have no desire to engage and argue my people to wake up. I'm just pushing the proper narrative. Look at what they're doing. And look, right now we have the most racist president we've seen in our recent lifetime in the White House. A president who openly says that all black people countries are shithole countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person in head of the medical that's working for the president is working side by side with Bill Gates. Now, all of a sudden,
and you know Bill Gates is a eugenicist. You know what he's about.
All of a sudden, Bill Gates is connected with the president. Bill Gates aims towards Africa. This is ridiculous. It really is.
Well, I think the thing is, brother, it's so in your face, and yet we continue without challenge allowed to happen.
Exactly.
I don't count on the elected leadership. I could give less than a rat's ass about elected leadership or misleadership. I am squarely behind the grassroots leadership, the Pan-African leadership, the leadership that has a cultural mindset. That's the leadership that I want to support. But we must come together on that and speak with a very strong voice. I heard my sister yesterday, the former ambassador on the Carl Nelson show out of D.C., strongly. In fact, they have a petition to the Chinese government, to Ying at the Chinese government, to tell them about what we will not tolerate. In fact, there is some reprisals on the continent with some of them going after the Chinese that are on the continent. And in fact, there was a Chinese restaurant, and I can't remember if it was in Kenya or wherever it was, that talking about they were not going to serve you people.
Yeah.
You know, it is gone to be.
The reason why some people, it confused people, said, wait a minute, we know that this disease started with China, they were eating bats. So how is it now it's been flipped over to Africans? It's because the Chinese people are functioning based on a narrative that exalts themselves. The narrative is that black people are more susceptible to disease, are more susceptible to carriers, so stay with the Africans. But the reality is the bat is for the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what you talk about, the two leadership that you follow, the grassroots leadership that you follow, my brother, there's a reason why those true leadership that you follow remains grassroots. There's a reason why those true leadership stays low level. And this starts back from when they assassinated Dr. King. When Hoover said the next time there'll be a black messiah, we will have created him. Now, it goes back to 1968. They discovered during the 1960s that when they gave media attention to black leaders such as Malcolm X, such as Dr. King, they gained prominence. They became more famous. They gained more followers. So they became more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So upon studying the 1960 civil rights movement, they learned that what you do now is when you have those true black leaders, you do not give them a national platform.
Right.
You don't allow them to come on your national television. So because you don't want that ideology to spread, that's why those true leaders are appear insignificant, because they're not getting a national platform.
Right.
All by design. Now, when you see those, even when you see these leaders almost on TV now, they are staying to a script. They're clean. They follow a script that's approved by the ruling white elite. They're not true leaders. They are puppets that are used to appease the black masses.
Right.
So they have created a state where we are at a place where we don't have the revolutionary mind. And we don't have that leadership. And we have these fake leaderships while we are on the verge of a pandemic that's being used as a screen to serve the system of white supremacy. If you think that it's possible that the white society, with their history, are not finding a way to use this system to benefit white supremacy, you are foolish. This allows them now to create a vaccine that's global. A vaccine now, they can significantly reduce our numbers. They can significantly sterilize us.
And see,
and it's not about being panicking or trying to push a conspiracy theory.
Brother, Fauci, who all these people are giving all this praise and hype to, especially because he contradicts Trump. But I have no feelings for Fauci, because back in the AIDS days, he said, no, AIDS was not created. AIDS, you know, to me, Fauci is another, even though he's been in that position under four or five presidents, because AIDS was created in the early 80s during Ronald Reagan, you know. No, actually, it was created even before then. It became known in the 80s during Ronald Reagan's presidency, and then all the other subsequent presidencies after that. But Fauci said, no, it was not. He had me, and that HIV causes AIDS. No, it does not. Because I said, when Magic Johnson announced that he had HIV, I said, Magic Johnson ain't going to die. He ain't going to get AIDS. Because it doesn't automatically lead you to AIDS.
Yeah.
All it is that your immune system has been compromised.
Yes.
But AIDS means your immune system has been depleted, and you are at a greater threat to die. You know. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, because AIDS was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland, if you know, because there was when Montel Williams had a program. Montel Williams had a talk show back at the time, and he had this brother named Zaire Miles on the program, along with Dr. Strecker. Those are two individuals who are pushing that understanding that the AIDS virus was man-made. This is a biological weapon. It was man-made, and it was going to be pushed on. Because first, what happened? It gave the appearance that it was happening within the homosexual community, you know? But then next thing we know, in fact, even still today, AIDS is still happening, y'all. People are still getting, you know, AIDS. And the most people who are getting AIDS are women, American African women, African women. But once again, you know, so they got Fauci along with Bill Gates, along with others, wanting to produce this vaccine. And the idea is that if you do not take the vaccine, everybody's going to get vaccinated. If you don't take it, say, for instance, your driver's license is up, you may not be able to get your driver's license.
A mandatory vaccination.
Yes.
Now, and here's what's bad about this. Now, they showed up. Well, I'm not just pushing panic or conspiracy theory. The wisest among us will tell you that the greatest teachers is history. Now, when you look at the history of the white man and his relationship to the black man, what is it in his past that would lead us to believe that he would do anything proper given the circumstances? What in his history would give us a reason to trust that he won't try to annihilate us or reduce our numbers? There's nothing in his history that leads us to believe the contrary. He is inherently evil. He's inherently racist. He strives for greed and power. And the objective is this. They want Africa's natural resources, but they don't want any niggas that's in Africa. That's the reality. That's their mindset. You know, Prince, the oldest son of Prince Charles. Not Andrew, the older one. I never remember the royal name, so they don't mean nothing to me. He gave a presentation 2 months ago. And in his presentation, he was talking about Africa and how the wildlife in Africa is getting smaller and the animals are dying. We need to reduce the African population for the damn animals.
Right.
And it's such arrogance that a European can sit here and give a presentation on reducing the African human population for the benefit of animals. These are pretexts. They always create a pretext. But behind the scenes, they need the gold. They need our rubber. They need our natural resources. There's even something called coltan that is used in all smartphones, laptops, electronic devices that comes from Africa. So they need Africa for their survival. But they want to reduce the population of Africa. When they say that they want to reduce the world population, they ain't talking about white babies. You a damn fool if you say they're talking about white babies.
No, because, see, whites have experienced negative population growth for a good number of years. In fact, they were at zero population growth way even back in the 80s. And now it's negative. So for every two that die, only one is born. And as a consequence, their numbers are down. I'm sorry.
It's consistent with the environment we're now in. We know that we are we're having babies at a far rate greater rate than they are. We know they expected their numbers even smaller in the next 20, 30, 40 years. So now they're now in a situation where they can mandate a vaccine. Do you not see the dangers for that for us?
And see, what was interesting too.
We have no one true voice to speak up strongly in our defense.
That's what I'm saying.
Our so-called leaders are puppets.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We have a misleadership group, particularly the elected leadership is so damn weak. They're discounted as far as I'm concerned. And all the so-called civil rights leaders like Al Sharpton and Jesse and all them cats, no count either, you know, Muriel, all of them. But, you know, what was interesting, what we were talking about in terms of in terms of what they want to do, you know, they were experiencing negative population growth, but they were paying Caucasian women in Europe to have kids because of the dearth of children being born. In fact, even in when they had that influx of immigrants into Europe, particularly from Syria, they were really welcomed in Austria and in Germany because the population, the average age of the population there is damn near 40 years old.
Yes.
See, and so they needed people to work because there are jobs that they don't want to do. Okay. that needed to be done. So they welcomed. And the fact that those immigrants from Syria were not African. They looked more close to European. And, of course, the people there identify as European.
Yes.
There are dark-skinned people who are Muslims, who are Arab, who are North Africans, who identify with Europeans, who want to be classified as Caucasian. Egyptians used to be classified as Caucasians. Used to be, probably still are. You know, but we'll talk about that. We're going to take a break. Brother Franklin Jones, it's good to hear you, man. I'm glad you're back. Bringing some fire. So I appreciate you. We're gonna come back after this break to discuss.
Hey, you know, I'm crumped up. I can't see black people doom and not get angry.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
Angry, we'll pay attention.
Yeah, I agree. And we must bring this to the attention of our people because it is high time. You know, so those who are on the call, just hang on. We'll get to you. Be patient. Some have hung up, but please come back because we're going to get to these questions. And if you're listening to African Perspectives for the first time, I'm glad you're tuned in. This is what we do. We bring the funk. It's our objective. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. More on the other side.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a braids, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own. Yeah, mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I'm straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on a dance floor. Nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Gather at the church early Sunday morning. Openly they they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen one? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we call home. 'Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving. From the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. That I'm loving mine. I love. Soul from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving mine.
Waves, man. Before we encounter them cavemen, dominating with the chains and the whips. Got me feeling like I'm in the tails of the crib. Schisms, hey, and all the mechanisms. Can't break what's in my system. Never. Officials say, ready to strap with the pistol. You create another issue? Or is it gonna drop a missile? Who straps? Because your feet don't drag. If the earth is your country, the wave, come on now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Those two songs right there, Brother Gary Taylor, Loving My People, and Sister Sha Bless, Take Me Back in Ancient Ways. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program on Mondays is Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8. Following that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Sunday, once again, Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Once again, my guest this Friday will be Brother Paul Pumphrey. Brother Paul Pumphrey is the co-founder of the Friends of the Congo. But he has been involved in various organizations. He's over 40-something years of involvement in our community. He co-founded Sisters and Brothers International. It was a 501(c) company that was focusing on economic development and human rights in the Americas as well as Caribbean and Africa. And so, leave me, brothers and sisters. This brother is dynamite. I met him in Venezuela. So I can't wait to have him on Friday. And believe me, you'll have a treat. We're talking today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, the Black Matrix, and or as I like to call him, the King of Memes. Brother always throwing out the memes out there. I love it. Let's get back to the conversation because there's just so much, you know.
There's so much, my brother.
It really is.
You know, my brother, when I'm talking to you, I find myself I'm talking fast because I'm trying. I know it's your show. I don't want to keep talking. I want to squeeze when I have to get in. But I also realize that, you know, I'm also very emotional about this situation, and for good reasons. But I would like for 3 minutes to try to explain why we should all pay close attention. You see, first of all, here's who I am. While my family and friends and everyone was studying the Bible, or they were studying the Woodlish myth, I've studied the social science of domestic warfare and the social science used for long-term oppression. And I've studied it for over 40 years, okay? And that's the position in which I'm speaking to you from. If you're a Black person and that's not angry or deeply concerned, it's because you don't understand the social science of long-term oppression. White oppressive forces have already started their white media propaganda campaigns that have created the pretext of why we should expect the highest death rate among African people. The CDC has officially stated that this mass death rate of Black people can be written off as coronavirus-related even without proof. There are doctors, white doctors on television, who have said that's the report they're getting from the CDC. Now, when you create a setting, first of all, they've already this manufactures a to set a setting for the mass annihilation of our people. Okay? They already created a pretext why we should expect the highest death. It's called manufactured consent. Now they create a setting where we can die in great numbers, and it can be written off by doctors, medical facilities, and morgues as coronavirus. It gives them a rubber stamp on mass deaths of Black people to be called coronavirus. This means they created a study where they can kill us for poisons any different way, and it's written off as coronavirus. This is the reality that's facing us. And this is the reality that our minds have been steered away from. There is a global agenda. And the global agenda, although all white governments publicly profess equality for all their citizens, unrelentingly behind the scenes, they are committed to the preservation of their white dominance and control. Therefore, if these white governments did not develop systems that hinder the advancement or the growth of black people, they would then be diametrically opposing their own self-interest. This is why governments have a long history to see experiments. We don't understand the real world we live in. There are two governments. Every government has two faces. There's a public persona that professes equality for all. And then there's the other persona, which is called a shadow government, that deals with these national agendas that the public never hear about. So now that we're in a setting where they've created the propaganda to say we should expect a greater debt among black people, and not just nationally, but globally. We should take this serious. There's nothing, no issue on the planet more important than what we're seeing right now. They've socialized our minds to be dumbed down. We don't understand what's going on. They shift to our true leaders who speak. So we get puppet leaders. They exalt our rappers and call them heroes. So we follow them. So we are people without true leadership. And without true leadership, without a true voice, now they're planning, they created a setting that allows them to meet their goals, their objective of reducing our number. They created a setting that served their agenda of maintaining white dominance. And if you think they're not going to use it, you have to be a damn fool. Everything in their history tells us they're going to use this to benefit white supremacy. They're going to use this to make sure that their great-grandchildren are dominating us, our grandchildren in the future. This is the reality we're faced with. And it's this reality, and seeing this reality, I study social science, warfare, domestic science, global science, study the white man. It's why I get so angry when people talk about William Lynch or the Bible, that she's going to save us. We're in a situation that requires that we wake up and we start communicating. And once we can understand the system, we must develop counter strategies against the system. Understand its place they've created for us, and then develop counter strategies against it. That's what we must need to do. Go on your show. I thank you for the time to explain that.
Well, you know, you'll have more chance to further explain and expand, you know, because I always appreciate you, brother, and for what you always want to bring, and that is to alert our people. Sometimes our people are scared, man. They don't want to know. You know, there's a saying, if we knew better, we do better. Yeah. But a lot of our people don't want to know. Because,
no, they don't. Because
by knowing, that automatically creates an action in you to change. So you'd rather be ambivalent. You'd rather be non-existent on that so you can go about your mundane-ass lives and continue doing what you're doing while they're doing what they're doing. And then what they're doing is in preparation to eliminating us. And because you're trained to think individually, then you really don't care. Just like as I was listening to the sister yesterday on Carl Nelson's show, some brother called in and talking about I'm paraphrasing, obviously, talking about, well, they're not really Africans and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, and I love the way she brought it back, though, in her response. I really do. I thought the sister was right on point in bringing it back the way that she did, because there are no divisions. There shouldn't be no divisions.
No.
There are no divisions. We are African people. We are one. And the sooner that we can start that mindset and throw off the yoke, throw off the vice grip that these Caucasians have on our minds, the better we will be as a people and the more secure we will be. Because now we will work and fight and protect one another, protect our women, protect our families, our children, our elders, our prosperity. Because we have to get out of theirs. Yes. Us in theirs is a death note. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of the division that you mentioned, I just experienced that before the coronavirus got really bad. I was invited to speak at a university, at a black college in Alabama. So when they reached out to me and they started talking to me, the brother noticed that I had a Caribbean accent. So he said, oh, so you were born in the Caribbean and was raised in the U.S. So you can't really speak about black plight. You can't speak about I was really amazed that this person felt, because I am an African who was born in the Caribbean, that I am not I sort of disconnected from the plight of black people. You see, those ideology, divisive ideology, are spread to our community, and those divisive ideologies benefit the system of white supremacy. We must come together as one people,
yeah.
And we must recognize that we must stop seeing ourselves based upon the narratives of white people. Now, here's something that people haven't noticed in America. Not only are many of us felt we hate our own and love our enemies, we in fact call our enemies people and call ourselves niggers. We normalize this. Black people call Caucasians white people. We call them people while calling ourselves niggers. Look at that. We normalize it. Our minds have been socialized against our own self-interest. And here's the deal. Every nation socializes its subordinate group or suppressed population to think in ways that serve the dominant society. And those who have been socialized, they don't know it. Because we've normalized what's been done to us, we can't overcome it. But we're at a stage right now where they're setting up an arena to annihilate us or significantly reduce our numbers, so we have to wake those dumbed-down minds up. We have to shake our people to wake them up. We're at a point now where we thought we might have had more time, so we were more patient with recognizing our minds have been socialized. But now, when we see how where the white man's at right now, he is so far ahead in his scheme to annihilate us. Patience is no more. We must show our people that our minds have been socialized. For example, black women have died with us, died beside us. They've had their husbands lynched, their children lynched, their daughters raped. Black women were raped. And the white man socialized African Americans to call her a bitch. We have been socialized against it. We normalized it. Those words, when we get negative words on ourselves, we dehumanize ourselves. This is why the black man in America hurts the other black man. To me, I kick that nigger's ass. I punch that nigger. I stroll that nigger. I kick that nigger. We dehumanize ourselves. And it's a true science. They teach us in warfare and the military. When we go to war, we never call the enemies. We never call the other side humans. We never call them people. We never call them soldiers. We call them enemies. Then we have slangs, geeks, chutes, and it's allowed us to kill them because we dehumanize them. I'm telling you how real this is. Right now, at the Mexican border, and to the Texas-Mexican border, they had an investigation where these countless numbers of Mexican-Americans were brutalizing the Mexicans coming in from Mexico. And the psychologists were studying it. How is this possible? They said it's possible because the Mexican-Americans don't call the immigrants Mexicans. They're giving them negative names. And once you impose negative names upon a people, it allows you to dehumanize them. The white man has introduced these negative terminology into our community because we dehumanize ourselves. And the reason why it doesn't work well on Africans or even the Africans in Great Britain, because they have not been totally stripped of their cultural identity. They know their African heritage. We African-Americans or Africans throughout the Americas who have been totally stripped of our identity and culture, we are more susceptible to media social engineering. So they created this mindset. This whole thing, this whole system that we're in was developed originally from the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior in London. These Nodemans, they took the study of Sigmund Freud, studied the human mind, and they combined it with Edward Bernays' study of group control, the herd mentality, and they use it, and they control us. Their monopoly over us, they created this mindset. But when we see how close they are to killing us, we have to wake up. We can't be as patient as we were with our people when we see where we're at. We're in a bad place.
We are. We're in a very bad. Yes, we are.
We call each other. We call white people. We call our enemies people and call ourselves niggers.
Yeah. We're in a very bad place.
Yeah.
We're going to take some calls. We're going to take some calls, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix, or better, as I like to call him, the King of Memes. We take some calls. 404-453-453.
Peace and blessing, family.
Wes, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm still learning, man. I agree with you, Brother Franklin Jones, but look at here, man. our people want receipts now, man. Okay, and I got a receipt to let our people know what's happening. This article is from Aviation Daily News. All right, this is what the enemy doing. Okay, the main article was on printed yesterday, but this sub context in the article was April 11, 2020. The Pentagon confirms coronavirus accidentally got into chemtrail supply chain. Spread is suspended. Okay, that's a receipt for our people to look up and read for yourself that they've been spraying them chemtrails. I know you know about them chemtrails, Franklin.
Yes, but hold on. Okay. I'm going to write down what you just said. You back it up again. Back up that story. The chemtrails, tell me about the story again.
It's written in the, you can look it up for yourself. Go to the aviation.
I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
Okay, it's called Science and Technology. Pentagon confirms coronavirus accidentally got into the chemtrail supply chain. So they saying spread is suspended. And I'm going to tell y'all something else about this COVID. That stands for certification of the virus identification. That's what COVID-19 meant, COVID-19.
Yes. Yes.
Certification of virus identification number 19.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So right there, that right there, people can look up and see that they have been spread. So that's one portal of the way this monkey virus been getting into the whole total population, really. See, I'm going to tell y'all the way the universe works. Anything they try to put out to kill us, it's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to, our people just, I'm like you, man. I studied this military.
Yes,
It's all about chaos.
Brother, I appreciate this call. This is the type of call we're supposed to talk about. You're elevating minds with this conversation, and that's what we should do. Our enemies want us to have dumbed down minds. We must elevate our minds and elevate our thinking. Now, there are two ways they're going to use this coronavirus against us. Because, first of all, they can put a coronavirus in the air, and many of us will die from it. But here's the deal. Those of us who don't die, by creating a mandatory vaccine, they can inject into us to, if not kill us right away, to cause sterilization, cause sickness, cause later cancers. So we're in a situation right now where they have the ability to meet their dreams of world dominance forever. And you think they're going to let this opportunity slip? It's not likely. It's nothing in their nature to show that they'll let it slip. It's nothing in their nature that we'll think that they will do the right thing when they have the power to do the wrong thing. It's nothing about the right thing.
Let me say this right here, and then I'll let somebody talk. Okay? Mm-hmm. Who's to say, don't even take that test, man. When they put that Q-tip up your nose or take your blood, who's to say they giving you the damn disease right there? Okay?
Yeah.
And then also, when you put your mask on, who the hell say the poison not in the inside of that mask you sucking up breathing? Because remember how they messed us over with them condoms? We're talking about putting on the condom? Okay?
Yeah.
The doggone AIDS is on the inside of the condom, y'all, whether y'all know it or not. So I'll let somebody talk.
All right. All right.
I thank you for calling in, brother. Appreciate you calling, brother.
Right on, Wes. Thank you, Wes. I'm going to get another call. 646-646, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, OC, and to the illustrious Frequent Jones, who we see on the set. Now, Brother West, I really, really have to question that statement in regards to AIDS and condom. Now, I know the white man is the devil. I know that's something that he would do. But I just don't think that he did it. One of those things that could be talked about just like this coronavirus will be the thing that we talk about for a long period of time. The whole vaccination movement in this country is going to be interesting in how it's going to move forward now, the point to where they may be looking to implement a vaccine in regards to this virus. But one must continue to understand that there's research that is needed for us to really understand what is this virus. Because I've heard people say it's nothing but a more advanced scale of the flu and other things. So there's a lot more research. I don't think at this time we should panic in regards to a virus being implemented. Panicking more about some of the policies that will be in place that will take away our civil liberties and freedom in this country. That's what we should be more concerned about, because now they're going to probably try to take the level of interfering under the process of this, what they're doing.
Brother Jay, you are breaking up a lot, but I got the gist of what you're saying, and I hope that Brother Franklin Jones got it as well. But you're breaking up. If you want
to
just...
Yes, he's breaking up bad. But I have to reiterate, and I need you to confirm it for me, Brother Oshie. Is he saying that we should be more concerned about how our civil liberties are being deteriorated in this nation rather than focusing on the global issue of black people dying overall? Is that what he's saying?
Well, that's what it sounded like to me, but if...
Let me respond to what I heard, if that's what it is.
Okay.
If the white world can annihilate African people globally, what's going to stop them from doing it to us nationally? And why should we say we should worry about our civil liberties and be quiet if they're targeting Africa? Is Africa not our root? Are Africans not us?
An Italian American
heard that America was trying to do something in Italy to wipe out millions of Italians. Would Italian Americans not be concerned? If Asian Americans, let's say Chinese Americans, heard that they were going to do something in Asia that was going to wipe out Asians in Asia, so do Asian Americans not be concerned? We should be concerned. When one of us are attacked, we're all attacked. That's what unity is. The white man attacks black unity because he knows unity is our greatest power. But I defend my blacks, my Africans that live in Great Britain. I defend my Africans who live in the continent. I defend my Africans all through the planet. We are one people.
Ashe.
And I love each of all my people.
Ashe.
Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead, Jay. Clarify yourself right quick so you can get to another call.
I did not say that, so I don't know where he got that or where he heard that from.
You were breaking up. You were breaking up, my brother. You were breaking up.
What I said was in regards to the civil liberties in this country and how they're going to have us under scrutiny in regards to what we do. I said nothing about Africa. I'm clear on what they're doing to Africa. Now, what's to say that this virus is the thing that's causing any type of harm to only Africa and not other people? Haven't a lot of Italians died from this? Are people dying in every country in the world? So how are you going to make that equation that the only concern should be just for Africa?
The response, okay, let me answer that, okay? The response, even though we have all these deaths in other countries, they're focusing the attention on a vaccine in Africa. And the person who's overseeing this vaccine in Africa is a proponent of reducing world population. So that's why our concern is focused towards Africa. If there are greater cases in Italy, do it back to Italy. And why?
Okay, so let me ask you this.
They're focusing on Africa, and the person who's in charge of the vaccination is the person who's a proponent. In fact, he's the planet's strongest proponent of reducing world population. Now, this is half a critical thinking.
Now, yes, I know it's happening to in Rome. It's happening to people around the world. But the focus towards the vaccine is pointing towards Africa. And the person who is pointing towards Africa is working with the current administration to create a vaccine. And this
now,
is
let me hold on one second.
For 10 years, he was talking about reducing world population. Why should we not be concerned?
Let me say this, and you need to listen to this, because I think one of the things that you're getting caught up in is that the person in regards to the vaccination said the word Africa. Now, what would you say, and what would be your reply, if he said that we're going to first test it in Italy, or if we're going to first test it in Europe? Would you take the same position?
I would rather him use a European as a testing ground than Africans. Yeah.
So let's be clear. You don't know, and I don't know where they're going to initiate.
I don't know your position. Please explain your position.
I'm explaining if you listen.
It's not for argument's sake. But I don't hear.
I'm not arguing with you.
Hold on.
I'm not arguing with you.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on, both you brothers. Okay, hold on. Let me get another caller here. I'm going to mute you. Get another caller here. 602. Good afternoon.
Yeah, is that me, Brother Oshi?
Oh, okay. No, it's it's Brother Marcus. I'll get you in a minute,
okay.
Paul.
Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Marcus.
Brother Franklin Duane, I'm glad you're back on the radio, because we need you, brother. Psychological warfare. And as you said, it's Africa that's the prize. They want Africa. They don't want black people.
Yes.
Africa, because we are the problem. We are the problem to them getting to the resources in Africa.
Yes.
And it's Africa is the prize. It's not them, America. It's not Europe. It's not Haiti. It's not Jamaica. It's Africa.
Yes.
And
all
of a sudden, these things pop up out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? And them two French doctors saying they want to test it in Africa. And then they came out and apologized. And then the damn dummy foreign minister in DRC said, no, you know what, you can't come and test it.
That's a damn shame. Now, where was, Marcus, where was that at again? Which country welcomed them?
The Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Oh, okay.
The foreign minister said, yes, you know what, you can come and test it. And, Bill Gates, every mineral that make up that computer comes out of Africa. Every mineral they need, it's not only coal, and it's other minerals, and it comes out of the DRC. Them go test it on them people in France or in Italy. You know, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? We got to save our people. And I think coronavirus is a wake-up call to all black people.
That's right.
Yeah. And here's the fact.
Thank you, Brother Marcus.
You should really
Thank
pay
you.
Attention. This is a fact. And here's the fact. The person who is working with our current administration, who's working with Donald Trump's administration, the president who called black country shithole country, the person who's working on a vaccine and is focusing that vaccine towards Africa is the same person who's for more than 10 years been speaking about reducing Africa's population. Now, if you go to TEDx and you listen to Bill Gates speak on TEDx, you will listen to him give a 1 hour speech talking about it. So the fact that the administration, this guy is working, officially working with an administration, and he's focused toward Africa, and we shouldn't be concerned, we shouldn't say, wait a minute. To not be concerned. It's asinine.
447-447. Good afternoon or good evening.
Yeah, is that me? Good afternoon, Brother Oshi, and good afternoon, Franklin John, and to all the callers and all the listeners worldwide. Let me just say a good afternoon to you. Wow. You know, Brother Franklin, I'm so glad you're on. I'm so glad. Let me just make two simple requests. Humbly and respectfully, I ask Brother Baba Oshi to turn up the volume because I don't know, for some reason, it's coming through kind of low when we hear Brother Franklin's voice. And secondly, Brother Franklin, can I ask you humbly and most respectfully to try and speak a little bit slower?
Okay.
Because I'm making notes. I'm making notes of everything you say. And I'm sure there are a lot of callers out here, listeners, who are trying to understand what you're trying to tell them. You know, when you talk about psychological warfare and the attack against that, because the attack is on. You, the level of psychological warfare is phenomenal out here. I hear people repeating the rhetoric, the narrative being sown by their adversaries. Listen, if I tell you I'm going to kill you and you start repeating, I'm dying, yeah. I'm dying, you're going to die, okay?
Yes.
If I tell you that I've got something for you and that's killing you, and you start telling your family and friends that that's what's happening to you, well, that's going to happen to you. Okay?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, my brother Franklin, is that they need to understand what's happening to them, because I'm telling you, most people do not have a clue what's going on with them. Right? So hear what now. If you've got anybody who can go and research this, please do your research, because for some reason, my brother, we don't, well, I can't speak for everybody, but there's a pattern which I see among black people. It's as if we don't want to read anything. It's as if we don't really want to read. We want to watch a YouTube video because it's easy to watch it. And then we think because we've watched a YouTube video, we know it all. You have to read. And you have to read over and over and over again. You might have to read it 20 times before it comes clear. Now, if you read what a virus, okay? I hear Brother West said they put, you know, he's read that they're putting it in the air. Yeah, listen. They were putting it in the air. It's too random, okay? It would hit too many people and it wouldn't be effective, because by the time it goes through the atmosphere, it would not be that effective, okay? For anybody who thinks I'm talking at the third chapter of my imagination, go and read a document. Silent wars, silent weapons, I say. Silent weapons for quiet wars.
I read it. I read that, yeah.
Right. Well, the information is there, my brother. Is it not?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything which is happening now is in that document. Absolutely everything. Silent weapons for quiet wars. Now, you know, this 5G is just a name, fifth generation technology. That's just a name. But what's actually happening is they want to push millimeter frequency, small waves at 60 gigahertz, okay?
Yeah.
Your microwave oven works at 2.5 gigahertz. Your microwave oven works at 2.4 gigahertz. Your mobile phone works at 2.5 gigahertz, okay? The difference between your microphone, your microwave, and your phone is that your microwave is 1 watt. It's pushing out a heavier wattage. It's like being in a speakers. You've got 100-watt speakers, 20-watt speakers. 100-watt speakers is pushing out more power than 20-watt speakers. Your microwave pushes out more power than your mobile phone. But let me tell you this. They've put up many, many cell towers. I can tell you in my own area where I live, in actual fact, on the road where I live, somebody burnt down the 5G tower 2 days ago. They burnt it down. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody lit, set fire to it and burnt it down. Okay? Now, they've put them up. I'm familiar with this technology, and I know what cell towers look like in all its forms, even when they're hidden in lampposts. But since this thing, I've gone out and had a look, and I am absolutely shocked in my own area how many cell towers have gone up. I'm absolutely dumbfounded.
Yes.
When they were put up. Anybody I ask, nobody has ever seen these things go up. Now, how is that possible? How is it possible that they can put up a cell tower in front of your house and you don't even see it go up?
Yes.
What does that tell you? That there's a clandestine movement to put them up, and it's been going on a long time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, it's like this. Silent weapons for quiet wars. What
does
it mean? Right? Within the frequencies, okay, you've got a device which you carry around. It's called a mobile phone. Right? Your body is giving out frequencies. Your body.
Your body, yes. Your cells talk to one another through frequencies.
Yes.
You know that, Brother
yes.
Franklin? You agree with me?
Yeah? Yes, I do.
They communicate. Now, once your cells stop communicating with each other, they start to break down. Your body starts to fail because they need to communicate. They talk. There's music in your body, okay? Right? So once it's been interfered with, it starts to break down. You get things like cancer, high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You might even pass out or have a stroke, okay? Now, your body's acting. Flu is not a disease. Because if flu was a disease, they'd give you a test for flu. There's no test for flu. When you've got flu, they ask you what the symptoms are. You have a headache. You have nose running. You sneeze. Stuff like that. Now, your body is under attack because it thinks that there's a toxin coming in. The toxin's coming through the ear because the frequencies pass your skin. You don't feel it on your skin. It heats it internally. And your body gets the idea it's under attack. So what do you get? The flu. It starts to get rid of what it thinks is toxin. That is where germs are spread. Now listen, as far as I'm concerned, COVID-19 is a total misdirection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're being misdirected. And the reason why I say that now is because I'm not saying there isn't infection in the body, because when your body's under attack, it's going to get rid of the infection. And if
mm-hmm.
you sneeze, you're going to pass something on. But by the time you get to your doctor, they're going to label you as COVID-19. Now, my grandfather just passed away recently, and they put that on his death certificate, okay? And what does it mean when they put it on your death certificate? That means there's no post-mortem. You can't see the body, and they're going to get rid of the body unless you fight and argue with it. But it's funny. How come the Muslims are able to get their bodies? How come the Jews are able to get their bodies? It's happening right now. But you as a black man can't see the body. Why? Why is it they want in the body? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've known for a long time they've been stealing your organs. We've known that. Okay? We know that. There are many people around the world. Heart failure. Kidney failure. Okay? This is a mass culling going on. Right? And they're using psychological warfare to sow the narrative that there's this
yes.
thing called COVID-19.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
it to your family.
Yes.
You're talking and saying, yeah, there is. We've got to isolate ourselves. You're under house arrest. You're
yes.
put us under house arrest. You're not under lockdown. What's lockdown? There's no such thing as lockdown. You are under house arrest.
Yes.
Now
yes.
imagine, they put you under house arrest. You ain't even committing a crime. Now, that is what you call in your American Constitution a rogue government. That
yes.
is what you call in your Constitution a tyrant government. But what are you doing? Nothing. Staying in your house like good old children. That's what you're doing, okay? Because you've been told by a tyrant government and the cabal which is running the world through their fraternity. Listen, people, wake up. The time is now. It ain't about YouTube videos, about who knows more than who. This is about saving your family.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And if you've got to do what you need to do, but no, coming on there and arguing about who knows more, that's not what it's about.
Yes.
Because you don't know who's going to be next in your family.
That's
take
true.
Take a good look in the mirror. Men, take a good look in the mirror. And let me tell you, ask yourself the question, am I capable of defending my family against a tyrant, against a cabal who wants to eliminate me off the planet? Ask yourself
yes.
that question.
Yes.
Okay?
Brother,
because we ain't got no time to decide whether we're African or not, whether we're Hebrew Israelites or not,
yes.
whether we're Muslims or not. We ain't got no time for that.
Yes.
Okay? It's time to save yourself and your family. That's what we've got time for.
Brother Paul.
All right, Brother Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Paul,
appreciate your passion.
I love your passion.
I love your passion.
I love your spirit, and I will take your advice. I love you, my brother. Stay who you are. You're real.
Yeah.
And that passion burning in you because you love Africans, because your eyes are awake. It's saying that with knowledge comes a heavy brow where ignorance is bliss. There's a saying that those black people that allows white oppressive forces to control their thoughts will never know truth and will never be free. Now, I'm going to say, and let's go back to Brother Oshie, I'm going to say this. So often there's a narrative among black people, we say that our problems, we don't like to read. We don't like to research. But I want to show you the real world. And the real world we live in, the fact that you're saying black people don't like to read, that's nothing innate lesser about black people. We live in a society where all races of people don't always do their research. All races of people don't always have a time to read. They're raising their families, they're going to work, and they don't have time to do all that research. But the problem is this. Those who control the narratives are white men, and those false narratives that they put out benefits the white majority. So it's okay for them not to research truth because they're benefiting from the lies. We, the Africans, we are in a position where we have to research because the few who are spreading the narrative that the majority believes are our enemies. White people don't always have time to read. White people don't always have time to research. There are a few ruling white elites who create the narrative and they spread these narratives, and the society works based on function of those narratives. Those whites who don't research, it doesn't bother them because they are benefiting from those false narratives. Those narratives benefit themselves. It isn't that black people don't like to read or research. It's that black people need to research and read more than anyone else because our enemies are controlling the narrative. I hope that made sense to some of you what I'm saying. I hope you understood what that meant.
Well, the bottom line is this. There is so much out there that has been attacking us, coming at us from all angles, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And many times, because of how we've been trained, you're not trained to look at things objectively. You're not trained to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. You're trained to just go along to get along.
Yes.
You're trained not to think about anybody, even if within your family. As long as you got yours, you should be fine. If you don't get yours, if they didn't get theirs, that's their problem because it was there for them to get. Worry about yourself. You're an individual. You're an individual. You know. But
there are black people who's never read anything that wasn't written by a white person. There are black people who've never seen media images wasn't created by a white person. So this gives the white person a monopoly over the black mind. And so therefore, we don't, like, for example, so they have allowed them to program thoughts in our mind that we believe are our own thoughts, but they're actually programmed thoughts. And I'm going to give an example of that. We said we don't think objectively. Most black people tend to make negative generalizations about our community, right?
Right.
Here are the facts. No black person that makes negative generalizations about black people are able to validate nor quantify those assumptions based upon their own experiences. Those who say they can are delusional because it's not humanly possible to validate an assessment of millions or billions of people based upon anyone's individual experiences. Those thoughts that black people have these negative generalizations was ingrained into our minds by white oppressive forces who controls our media images, our statistics, our societal narratives, because they literally own our interpretation of ourselves, and they prevent us from unifying against them by keeping us believing the fraudulent worst about ourselves. I know it sounds crazy to some people, but our minds have been manipulated, and I can prove this. Yeah, you said, a black person robbed me last time, so I know black people messed up. I had a Lexus jacked from me by black guys in Orlando 10 years ago. Did I allow that to say that all black people are criminals? No, because I understand how the system works. That one incident does not validate billions of black people or billions globally. Those thoughts have been ingrained into my mind by white oppressive forces that control black media images, statistics, and societal narratives. And there are those who are listening right now and say, man, this brother knows what we're talking about. I know black people messed up because I got robbed. Well, someone beat me up. But here is the reality. And you have to understand how your mind, you have to understand what I'm saying to free your mind. Now, watch this. If I walked at my house every day and I saw a black homicide, every day, that means I saw a black person kill a black person 365 days a year. Now, someone would say, man, Frankie, you saw 365 incidents. You could definitely say black people kill each other. We're terrible. But here's the reality. 365 individuals is not even half of 1% of the 55 million black people in America. It's not even half a quarter of 1% of the billions of black people globally. So you are never able to see enough to quantify your negative perception of black people. Your negative perception has been ingrained into your mind by white oppressive forces. And they have to do this because whatever people are oppressed for a long time, their collective aggression against the oppressors will continue to grow until acts of retribution become inevitable. So you prevent this by turning the collective aggression of the oppressed away from the oppressors and redirecting against themselves. Those contemptuous thoughts against our own community
have been ingrained into our minds through white social scientists and propaganda designers without us even realizing it. We have to lift our minds. We have to recognize that there's a system against us and stop making negative generalizations about our people, because those all come from white sources. They're all our interpretation of ourselves.
I agree. We're winding down, brothers and sisters. I appreciate all those who've called and made a contribution. We welcome back our good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix, the Black People Matrix. And you're quite sure if you're on Facebook, you have seen. If you haven't, then you need to see some of the work that he has produced, some of the things that he has put out there to try to elevate the African mind. We are at war, dear brothers and sisters. We are at war for the minds of our people. That's why I end the program with Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the redneck, how you like that one, Jay, is the minds of our people. We're at war. And who's going to win this war? Obviously, they have a lot of tools. And the best thing we can do is what we're doing here right now, is talking about it, trying to make each other aware of it, trying to make sure that we don't put the blame on ourselves, that we put the blame where it squarely belongs, on a system that created this madness, that we begin to love ourselves and begin to love each other, and to begin to support each other, that we begin to understand that we cannot live in this environment. We cannot live with a people who are hell-bent on destroying us. To make it appear that they are friends, to make it appear that they are going to do good. But all the while, everything that they have done to us has been destructive. Oh, granted, there's a few of us who they allowed in to give you the illusion of inclusion, to make these individuals think that, yes, you too can be like so-and-so and work at this place and have this degree and this so forth and so on. Because that's what they want. But the reality is, it is not ours, and it never will be ours. And we will never share in it equitably, fairly, justly. It'll always be what the hell it is. And believe me, if some Caucasians die, so be it. Because for those that are in the 10%, they could care less. And surely those in the 1%, those big oligarchs, those folks with the huge billions of dollars, they could give less than a rat's ass about poor Caucasians. Yes, I know that they're experiencing population problems, negative population growth, but it doesn't make a difference. Like people are talking about, well, yeah, in 30 years. No, the population of Caucasians in this country will be less than 50% in the next 15 years. 2035, 2040, they'll be less. That don't mean nothing, because they'll still be in control. Hell, they always were less in South Africa. And even today, even after so-called Nelson Mandela's, they're still in control. So I'm saying to us, we must understand that we must close ranks, pull our resources, and let's do for ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahoria. Bivahoria means our victorious destiny, and we shall be victorious. Peace, family.